If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. It is a real joy to greet you on this first Sunday of July, 1975. We at Worth Baptist Church are rejoicing in what God has done for us in the first month of the summer. Remember, summertime is revival time at Worth Baptist Church, and truly we experienced a spirit of revival during the days of June. In fact, June was a record June for us in all the 21-year history of this church. It was indeed one of the best months we've ever had. Our Sunday school averaged 450 for the five Sundays of the first summer month. We experienced a tremendous spirit of revival as souls were saved and 19 people were added to our church. We praise the Lord for the good things that He's doing for us during the days of the summer. We are praying for spiritual renewal in America, and we are praying that God will begin that work right here in the city of Fort Worth. We want you to join with us in prayer that there will be a spiritual awakening in America, and pray that God will begin it in your home and mine, in your life and mine, in your church and mine, in your city and mine. I can think of no better place for a spiritual awakening to begin than right here in the city of Fort Worth. Today, we invite you to come and share God's blessings with us in all of the services of Worth Baptist Church. Our Sunday school begins at 10 o'clock. We have a class for every member of your family, for every age and every grade level. The textbook of the Sunday School of Worth Baptist Church is the Bible only. We're in a series of studies in our Sunday School entitled Highlights in the Book of Acts. Today in Acts chapter 17, as we study Paul's sermon on Mars Hill. Our Sunday morning worship service will be a challenge and a blessing to your heart. And in the Sunday evening worship service, we will conclude the series of messages which we began on the first Sunday of January this year, entitled 1975 in Prophecy. We have seen in these messages the things that God has on the program and schedule for America and for the nations of earth in the end time. The message this Sunday evening, tonight at 7, will be entitled, Even So, Come, Lord Jesus. This climaxes a series of messages where there are 24 messages on the book of the Revelation. If you would like to have all 24 of these messages on 12 cassette tapes, we invite you to write us this week. These tapes can be yours for the small price of $19.95. Remember, that's 24 messages on the book of the Revelation. We're not in this business to make profit. This barely covers the expense of the tapes and of making them and mailing them to you. So if you'd like to have the 24 messages in the series 1975 in Prophecy, write today to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. All you need do is include or ask us to bill you for $19.95 to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. Again, we invite you to join with us today in worshiping the Lord, in studying God's Word in the Sunday School Hour, and being a part of the great worship services at 11 o'clock and again at 7 this evening. These services have been planned to meet your spiritual needs. We invite you to share with us today at Worth Baptist Church, located at 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. We're easily accessible at this point by Loop 820. In the near future, we hope to be in our new property, located 1/2 mile north of Loop 820 on Campus Drive, adjoining the property of the Fort Worth State School. We covet your prayers in these matters that God will continue to open the doors for our relocation. In the meantime, at our present location, 3309 Wilbarger Street, we'll be expecting you today. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, America Back to God. I shall read from the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, beginning at verse 2. But before I read the scripture, I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we truly thank Thee today that we live in a land of freedom, in America. And we pray that as this broadcast fills the air, as America is called back to God all over the nation today, we pray that many might come to know Christ, that many hearts might be blessed, that Thy people might turn to Thee, and that Thy churches all over the nation might be filled today, even on the holiday weekend. Help us to realize that the most important thing in all the earth is our service for Thee. So may Christ be honored in all that we do today, is our prayer in His name. And for His sake, and with thanksgiving we pray. Amen. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, we read at verse 2, Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. For from the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. Of all the nations that have ever taken their place in the annals of history, America is the greatest. I have read of Babylon and her hanging gardens, one of the seven wonders of the world. I have seen Greece in all of its architectural splendor. I have visited Rome with her catacombs, her Colosseum, and her cathedrals. But none of these can compare to America the Beautiful, the land of the free, and the home of the brave. I am an American, and I am proud of it. I love America, and I'm not ashamed to say so. I respect the flag, and do not hesitate to pledge allegiance to all for which it stands. I believe in the democratic processes of government, and I frown upon any form of government that would deprive us of our freedom of worship or any other freedom that is guaranteed us in our Constitution. We in America are a free people. We are a privileged people. We are an enlightened people, an aggressive people, and we are a charitable people. Yet there is something wrong in America. Something drastically wrong in our country. There is a spiritual imbalance which renders us incapable of reaching our potential. There is a moral weakness which is evidenced by two things. One, by the decline in spiritual values, and two, by the deterioration in the American home and the American family. We are in a spiritual vacuum. We are diseased with a deadly and dreadful malady. Now, men may call it whatever they wish in their attempt to whitewash an ugly spectacle, but the Bible calls it sin. The description that Isaiah makes of Israel is so characteristic of America today. We too are a sinful people. We too are laden with iniquity. We are a seed of evildoers. We are corruptors in America. We too have forsaken God. Like Israel, we too have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger, and we have turned our backs upon God in America. Today, for example, many people will turn the Lord's Day into a day of sporting and fun. The holy day has become a holiday, and the judgment hand of God is upon America because we've turned our backs upon Him, we've forsaken Him, and we've forgotten Him. My message today, entitled America Back to God, is a frightening thought. No democracy has ever lasted over 200 years, and we are now celebrating our 199th birthday. Whatever the outcome of the CIA investigation, or the energy crisis, or the 1976 elections, the destiny of America is still in the hands of God. National blessing does not depend upon domestic programs or foreign policies. National blessing depends upon Almighty God. With Him, we cannot fail. Without Him, we cannot win. There are some basic questions that we need to face the answer to in this hour. First, what is America? There are those who think that America is only a land of fun and frolic. But my friend, America is more than a Hollywood or a Disney World. America is more than a land of rivers and lakes and streams. America is more than baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolet. America is a working man on the job making an honest living for his family. America is a student in the pursuit of a well-balanced education. America is a doctor treating his patients with the best that medical care affords. America is a lawyer arguing for the truth in the courts of justice. America is a businessman involved in a legitimate business on the market of a free enterprise. America is an army ready to defend its people at the risk of its own blood. America is a teacher teaching the basics of reading, writing, and arithmetic. America is a child growing up to become a useful citizen. America is a church whose doors are open always to saints and sinners alike. America is a preacher preaching the gospel of redeeming grace. America is the pace setter in moral and spiritual values for all the nations of the earth. America is a president exercising his powers as commander-in-chief. America is a Congress enacting legislation to rightly govern its people. This is America. America, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The second question that I would pose today is this. Where is America's greatness? America's greatness is not in her universities, though they are among the greatest in all the earth. America's greatness is not in her military prowess, though we maintain a standing army for our defense. America's greatness is not in her financial institutions, though we are the richest nation on earth. America's greatness is not in her scientific achievements, though they are second to none. America's greatness lies in her faith, a faith in God that has brought us for almost 200 years through war and peace, poverty and plenty, famine and pestilence. We must never lose this faith. We shall never lose this faith. We must maintain the faith in God that has made our country the great nation that it is today. The third question I ask is this. What has happened to America? America has fallen into a pit of apathy. We have relaxed our moral restraints until that all over America today, permissiveness is the order of the day. I read just today in the paper that the divorce rate is one for every 2.2 marriages in our country. We have lost sight of our primary purpose as a democracy. We have drifted too far from the shoreline of faith. We have departed from the principles upon which we were founded. We have run roughshod over the principles of right and righteousness. Our slums are crowded with people who have little hope of recovery, while the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. Our prisons are overflowing with hardened criminals. Our mental institutions are filled to capacity. One out of every two beds in every hospital in America today is occupied by a person who has some mental or emotional disturbance. Our homes are being broken by the so-called new morality and the rapid rise in the divorce rate. Our educational system has degenerated into a hodgepodge of jungle philosophy, where teachers and students alike are exposed to the threat of violence, drug abuse, and even death. What a terrible condition the school system in America has found itself today. Many teachers are having to bear arms to their classrooms to protect their own lives. Our women and children are living in a drug-ridden, sin-laden, promiscuous society where a major crime is committed every 10 seconds. This is America. This is what is called Christian America. My friend, we best wake up to the fact that America can no longer call herself a Christian nation when we are doing the things that we are doing and spending the money that we're spending on crime and lust and greed and sex and all of the other false gods that America has today. Let me quote you the FBI director, Clarence Kelly. Here's what he said, and I quote, "Unless we erase violence, violence will erase us. Our city parks have been turned from playgrounds into jungles of violence. I am in favor of reenacting the death penalty." Unquote. I want to say, so may it be, to what Mr. Kelly has said. I too believe we ought to reenact the death penalty in the United States of America. We must face the fact that we cannot continue to turn hardened criminals loose on our children and our women and our citizens of this nation. We must come to grips with the fact that America has got to tighten her belt, and we must punish crime, and we must enforce our laws, and we must untie the hands of our law officials that they might do justice in America once again. In view of this depraved, decadent condition in which we find ourselves today, I feel we should call America back to God. We should pray for a great spiritual awakening. We should call upon God while He is near and seek Him while He may be found. The answer to America's dilemma is not in a military stockpile or a balanced budget or the solving of the energy crisis. The answer to America's dilemma is Christ. Only Christ is sufficient for this hour. He is the way. He is the answer. He is the solution. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." I call to your attention three reasons why I believe America should come back to God. Number one, America should come back to God because the Bible says, "Righteousness exalteth a nation." Number two, I believe America should come back to God because the Bible says, "Sin is a reproach to any people." And thirdly, I believe America should come back to God because the Bible says, "Happy is the people whose God is the Lord." Now, these are three basic reasons why America needs revival, why America needs to come to church today, why America needs to turn back to God and get on her knees and pray. This is the answer to America's dilemma in this hour: a turning to God, a spiritual renewal, a spiritual awakening, an old-fashioned revival. Why? Because righteousness exalteth a nation, and sin is a reproach to any people. The happiest days in America's history was when the church was at the center of national life, when men depended upon God, when men worshiped God, when men anchored their lives to Christ and to the church. These were the days when America was happiest and most prosperous, and we must come back to those days in 1975, or else we face the judgment of God. Someone might be asking, but how can we come back to God? Here's the answer. It's threefold. Number one, we must humble ourselves in America. America's a proud nation. We've become self-sufficient and self-dependent. We've turned our backs on God. We've said to God, "We don't need you anymore." We've tried to expel God from the classroom. Well, I was disturbed when I read that in one of our local school systems, no longer the Gideons can pass out Bibles. Oh, I know you're saying we believe in the separation of church and state, and we do. And I know you're saying that You don't think religion in the Bible ought to be forced on anybody. Neither do we. But why should those children who want the Bible be deprived of the Bible because a few people don't want the Bible? No longer is America a country that's ruled by the majority. The minorities are in rule in America today. That's a sad situation. I believe in protecting constitutional rights, but I believe it's just as constitutionally right for those children who want Bibles to get them as it is to protect those from the Bible who don't want them. We must wake up in America and realize if we discharge God from the army and expel him from the classroom and get him out of national life, the catastrophe of all catastrophes is upon us, and the judgment hand of God and the clouds of God's fury and anger are going to pour out upon America. I say we must humble ourselves, number one. Number two, we must learn to pray. And number three, we must turn from our wicked ways. These are the things that will bring America back to God. I have this footnote, and I shall be through. I believe America should come back to God because the Bible says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and every nation that forgets God." America has forgotten God, and America's destiny, according to the Bible, is hell. We must come back to God, or else we face this awful alternative. Going into hell as a nation, according to what the Word of God says to us today. Let me encourage you to pray for revival today. Let me encourage you to come back to God in your own life, right where you left Him. The poet put it this way: "Turn back to where you left Him, and you will find Him there. He is waiting by your bedside where you used to kneel in prayer. He's standing in the chapel by that long abandoned pew. He stands by your forsaken place where the laborers are so few. You are older, wiser, broken. You are tired of self, 'tis true. So return to where you left Him. He is waiting there for you. I trust that you'll come back to God in your own heart and in your own life today if you've drifted away from Him, and pray that America will experience a revival like we've never known before. As we leave the broadcast, may I take this moment again to invite you to Worth Baptist Church today. You'll hear the old-fashioned gospel. You'll hear the Bible as it is to people as they are. And I invite you to come and share with us in the Sunday school hour at 10 o'clock, in the morning worship hour at 11, and the Sunday evening worship hour at 7. And until next Lord's Day by radio at this same time, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.